Are you a speech language pathologist or occupational therapist who is feeling the squeeze of high caseloads and limited support? Wondering if maybe private practice is the answer? Well, let's talk about it. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Join me for a free training on May 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will explore what it really takes to leave the schools and start your own private practice in 2024. We're talking about the ability to have a flexible schedule, choose your own clients, create your own caseload cap, and uncap your earning potential by leaving salary ladders and scales behind so that you can finally earn what you're worth. Don't just dream about having better work-life balance. Make it your reality by starting your own private practice. To register, just head on over to privatepracticetraining.com right now and sign up, and I'll see you there. Jamie Perez is a speech-language pathologist and lactation consultant with a private practice in Tampa, Florida. She started her private practice after facing burnout in the hospital setting and wanted more time with her family. I got to know Jamie during her time in the Start Your Private Practice program, and it has been so exciting to watch her find her niche in feeding therapy. In this episode, she talks about her journey from event planner to speech-language pathologist, how she found her calling in the NICU, and how private practice empowered her to put her family first and be able to work with her ideal populations. If you're interested in learning more about how to work with ideal populations through your own private practice, whether or not you want to do feeding therapy or lactation consulting or something entirely different, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. So before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
Yes, my name is Jamie Perez, and I'm located just north of Tampa, Florida, and my private practice is called Thriving Joy Pediatric Therapy.
Oh my gosh, Jamie, I am so excited to be finally doing this interview. We've talked about it for a while, and I got to know you in the START program. I see you all over Instagram. And I am so excited to share with our listeners what your private practice is like now. But before we get to that, can you please share a little bit about your beginning of your career and when did you start thinking about private practice?
So I am actually an event planner first before I was a speech therapist. So I did weddings and conferences for like 5 years. And I knew I wanted to work with children. And I met this speech therapist and it sounded like the most magical job ever. Like I could work with kids for 30 to 45 minutes and then send them back to class. And that would be the end of it. So I found a program where I could bridge my original degree and then jump into a master's program. And I thought, I'm going to be a school speech therapist. And I became a speech therapist, but I became a pediatric hospital speech therapist. And that is where I have been the last 10 years, is working in NICUs and pediatric hospitals in multiple different states. I've loved it. I loved every second of it before I started my private practice.
First of all, I'm just so happy you found this profession and that then you found like what you were meant to do within it, right? Like how helpful is that?
Yeah, it was not at all what I just went with it. things come when they're supposed to come. And this like feeding, and they don't even talk that much about feeding and swallowing, honestly, for especially pediatrics in grad school. I got like a nibble of it. But my first placement in grad school was a pediatric hospital with trach and vent babies. And I was just like, I was hooked at that point. I was absolutely hooked.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And like someone like me would have been like, nope, that's not for me. Right. But isn't that so beautiful? Again, just how like there's so many avenues that we can go in this profession. Right. So you did something else. Then you discover speech. You thought you're going to do the schools, discover the hospitals, discover NICUs and kids. And at what point did you start to think about private practice?
So I always said never. Like, absolutely never. I'm never going to be able to make as much money as I do in the hospitals. Like, I won't have my benefits covered. I won't have my 401k. I won't have all these, like, paid time off. Like, I could never do that. And it was kind of the perfect storm. Like, I have two little boys, and they're everywhere, and sports is taking over my life. And I had no PTO. Like, my kids were sick and I was missing work and I never had any paid time off to use. So I was constantly like negotiating my vacations, negotiating with other coworkers, like who could take time off. And I just hit this like burnout point where I just felt like I was constantly choosing work and conserving my paid time off over my family and my kids and their needs. And my husband was always having to like take the kids sick. Who's going to take the day off? I don't have any time to take. And he was always having to take it. And I just got so frustrated with it and was missing out on such my kid's life that I just was like, huh, I wonder about this. And at the same time, a coworker had told me about you in your program, and she'd done it. And she was like just shifting into her thing. And she was like, you can totally do this. And I went home one day and I said to my husband, like, there's this program. I think I can make more money. Like, I think this is actually something I can actually do. And like, we can have an income from it. And I signed up for your course. And like, I had a private practice like 2 weeks later. The hardest part was naming it. So 2 weeks later, I had a private practice. And I would say about 6 weeks into my private practice, I was requesting to go from a full-time employee to PRN at the hospital.
First of all, I'm like blown away. But I also have to tell you that like people tell me that all the time, right? That they have like a bad day or something's like not going right at their job. They're completely frustrated. They don't have any time off. Like, I also used to work at a hospital. We had great vacation time. I could never take it, right? My schedule didn't allow for that. I didn't have kids at the time, but if I did, I couldn't have worked there, right? Like, just wasn't conducive to life with a family. And so many people do that. They join my program at a part where they're like frustrated, but they also see a path forward. And they see a path forward financially and fulfillment-wise and flexibility-wise. And they're like, you know what? I'm going to try this, right? And they do. They join the program. And the people who like do what I say right away, they do. They get their clients really quickly. And then before they know it, they have a private practice and they kind of like don't know what hit them. And they're just so excited, but also like, oh my gosh, I'm really doing this. So tell us more what happened with you.
I mean, I definitely struggled in the beginning. It's like, you think you have all your ducks in a row. Like, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. And then you get that first client and you're like, okay, wait a second. Like, I have everything, but like, how do I send those forms? Like, is it easy? Do I need an EMR? Like, is this really, am I really as organized as I think I have? Or you think like, well, I've written like soap notes my whole life. Like, I can just write a soap note. And I'm like, yeah, but you've been working with like a hospital EMR system that has like electronic medical records, but has everything like lined up for you. Like, you need to create some of those things yourself. And just even like telling people, like, you get the nerves. Like, I go into people's homes. So you're kind of like, okay, do I know this person? Definitely some imposter syndrome. Like, it's so nerve wracking. I mean, I feel like when somebody sees me in the hospital, they don't question me. They don't wonder like what my background is, what my expertise is. It's like, well, the hospital hired you. I don't really have to answer for that. But when you're your own practitioner, it's nerve-wracking to be like, am I going to make progress with this kid? Am I going to mesh with this family? So I've learned a little bit more just about like interviewing the people that call me. And I always tell families that like we need to be a good fit, which I never had. I never got to say that. I never got to choose whether we were a good fit or not. And I always tell families like, you can interview me as much as it goes the other way. Because if we don't jive, that's okay. It's okay. But yeah, like it took off way faster than I thought. And it's like for right now, I am private pay. And like when you do the math, you're like, oh, I can work a whole lot less hours for the same income. It's like mind blowing, quite frankly. Like, and it's also mind blowing what the hospital was billing me at. I was getting paid off of what they were billing me for. There's also a huge population of people like insurance won't always, a lot of insurances like won't cover speech therapy if it's not medically necessary. And so there was a much larger population out there of families who are like, either aren't covered or our deductible is so high that we have to essentially pay these crazy rates to like even make a dent. So I like there is a whole side to things like patient population that I had no idea like that it even existed until I jumped in.
Well, and like the fact that you go to people's houses and a lot of people that you see, I mean, they're little, right? And so as a parent, especially when my kids are little, you got to get them in the car. You worry about germs and like all this kind of other stuff, right? So to have someone actually like come in your house and like maybe like watch you feed your baby like in your nursing chair or in your setup, right? Like parent, that is so valuable to parents. And then it's valuable to providers too, because we really know that like what we're doing is going to translate to the home environment because we're literally in it.
In the home environment. I mean, I'm a working parent. Like I can't take my kids out of school at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to go to therapy every single week. Like I think there's a lot more families out there that are just going without because they're in that same pattern of like, I need my job. I need my income. And like, they feel guilty. They're like, I can't get my kids services because I can't miss work to get them where they need to go. And like, I'm able to go into daycares and go into homes so that they don't have to interrupt their day.
Yeah. And that's incredibly valuable. Where are people finding you? Like, what is the most of your marketing looking like?
Facebook mom groups, 100%. I spent some money on like Google ads for a little bit. And I was like looking at the analytics and I'm like, these are not where I'm getting people from. It's 100% word of mouth. I have built a reputation for like, I'm feeding focused. That has always been my focus. And I make it known that it's my focus. I love the little, like I love really early speech, but I'm learning to be more comfortable with saying like, I have a niche and I can do other things, but like there is a niche that I have and it's started to like, I've started to gain traction in that and families know that that's what I do. I think part of it too is like if a family calls me regarding something else, in fact, I had a family call me about stuttering the other day and I told them, I said, I live and breathe feeding. And there's some therapist out there that lives and breathes fluency. And I'm going to find you that person because I can treat fluency. Like I understand it, but there's somebody who like just that's their passion and you're going to make far more progress with them in a much faster time than me. So I've just gotten more comfortable in like making it known where my passion lies. Because otherwise I'm going to get burnt out if I take everything. I mean, that's what I did before. I had to take everything all the time. And so I'm learning to not do that. I'm also learning to network with other providers. Like there's a great chiropractor in my area that I've gotten very close to and we collaborate and I'm learning to make friends. Like it's not just about networking. Like I'm making friends along the way. I get a lot of referrals from other speech therapists There's one speech therapist. I mean, I was so stressed when I started. There's like, when I realized how many private practices there are, I had no idea. But there's two private practices. Like, we're all within a mile of each other. And one of them, she's like, I don't want anything to do with a kid that's under the age of 3. And I'm like, perfect. I don't want a whole lot to do with anyone over the age of 5. We're like, great. So when I get those calls, I send them to her and she sends them to me. Like, there's a lot more collaboration, I think, in the private practice world than I anticipated. Like, it's so nice to see. And then even just in your cohorts, like, that's where I've started to find everybody. Like, Bridget's like down the street and she's my go-to, you know, and like Vanessa is like my bilingual SLP that I talk to, and we all just support each other.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I love that. And I love both of those women too. Like, that's the thing too, that I think is like part of this new way to be in private practice, which is what I teach. Certain things like getting started on the side and like working with any population at first, but then starting to niche down. But really thinking about that collaborative element and like sending other people clients, because you're right. Like, you have a specific population that you like. They have specific populations you like. Like, there's plenty of clients to go around. No matter where anybody lives, there are way more like patients or clients that need help than providers who can serve them. And so, like, listeners, we need more people in private practice. Like, I know there are people in your town who are stuck on wait lists, going without therapy. And like, to your point too, Jamie, about like, not everyone has a flexible schedule to be able to take their kid to therapy. So like, if you want to reduce your hours at your job or quit altogether and start a practice, like, there will be clients for you.
You just have to put yourself out there.
So I know that you like feeding is your thing, right? Mm-hmm. Tell everyone, because before we started recording, you mentioned being a certified lactation consultant. Can you tell people a little bit about that process?
So I've been in NICUs the last 10 years. And I've always worked with like breastfeeding moms, but focused 100% on the baby. What's the baby doing? How's the baby swallowing? From my own breastfeeding experience, I could talk to a mom a little bit about my own personal experience, but I didn't fully understand the mom's side of things. So that I decided that I really needed to get both sides of double view. So I went after my certified lactation counselor. It's a 45-hour course that I took, and there's competencies, like phone competencies, when you finish, which is a little stressful. So I call, and they like, I have to do a, like, they act like they're a mom, and I have to kind of dig, like, what's the problem, and try and do some troubleshooting, and then there's a test. I will say, gave me a new appreciation for all the different disciplines that work with breastfeeding moms. So, you know, you have a speech therapist, you have certified lactation counselors, you have the IBCLC, which would be the next step. So I will say the CLC gave me a lot of great information from a breastfeeding standpoint, but it definitely did not give me the foundation to so much to assess a baby. Yeah. So like tongue ties, lip ties, like, it's very focused on the mom and milk production and breastfeeding, and it doesn't touch very much on the baby. So I can see where, like, if I wasn't an SLP, that course would have been, it would have given me a foundation to help a mom, but I don't necessarily think it would have given me the foundation to help both sides of that dyad. So it's very complementary to our background in oral motor and swallowing and the anatomy of an infant. So they definitely pair well together. But it's like, how can you help? So many moms want support with breastfeeding, and then it's the baby that's struggling, especially in a NICU when you have a premature infant that's just been through so, so, so much and then been separated from their mom. And the mom wants support. But if you don't have knowledge on both sides, it's very hard to support them. And I also found in the hospitals that our lactation consultants, they're kind of considered a, like, an optional resource. They're not like this money-making resource. It's just something that as a hospital with babies, you absolutely need to have them, but they were spread so thin in the hospital. So I'm getting these moms that are like, I need help. And I'm calling the lactation consultant and she's like, I have to see every single newborn baby in this hospital. And this is a baby that's being admitted 3-4 weeks post-birth with breastfeeding issues. I can't come across to the children's hospital to help this mom. I don't have the time. There's not enough of me and it's not their fault. But it made me feel like, I mean, I'd have to troubleshoot something. And I just got to a point where I just needed to have the knowledge myself to at least like better help a mom that's in that vulnerable state. Like it's such a hard thing for moms to navigate. I always tell moms, I think breastfeeding's harder than having the baby.
I agree. From personal experience, I will also say yes. And like the thing that you're right. Like I do remember that they were spread very thin and I'm mm-hmm. someone who needed help and there wasn't a lot of support and my baby also could have used some help. And so I really think that having this service now through your practice mm-hmm. is such a great complementary. You use the word complementary. I think it's the best word and a great way for you to grow your practice and grow yep. the people that you can help while still being in your zone of genius and doing what you love.
Yeah. And what came from becoming a CLC has actually helped grow also parent coaching because mm-hmm. I have so many moms who they're not overly concerned. They just want to do things right. And you don't know what you don't know. And so I have a lot more moms now saying, hey, I don't know if I'm going to have breastfeeding issues, or I don't know if I'm going to have feeding issues, or I think we're doing okay, but I would love just somebody to come and like, let me know if we're doing okay. And so at that point, I'm like, well, it's not really a feeding evaluation because you don't truly have concerns. And it's not really a lactation evaluation because the baby seems to be doing well. But just you as a mom or a parent needs some confidence and wants to not always go to Dr. Google and wants somebody that can stand in front of you and actually visualize you and your situation. And say, this all looks great, or these are some concerns that I have, or these are some modifications you can make, or, hey, I really do see like some issues here. And I really think you should consider getting the full evaluation done. So just from becoming a CLC, I've found a lot more like parent coaching opportunities also.
Yeah. And then you offer that through your practice.
Yep. I just set up my parent coaching guidelines.
Oh my gosh. Jamie, I'm so excited for you. And I'm just so excited for the women and babies that you're going to be able to help with this.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
I think that when people think about private practice, right, like if you think about like if you close your eyes and you think about like the stereotypical private practice, it's a brick and mortar space with a waiting room and a bunch of clinicians and like an aquarium and a receptionist and stuff like that. But like your private practice and most of the people that I have on the show look very, very different, right? So like when you first were starting to think about your practice, like, is this what you envisioned?
I always knew I wanted to be mobile just from like an overhead cost standpoint. That was where I wanted to start. I knew I wanted to connect more with moms and parents because you have like the productivity burden at the hospital. And sometimes I just felt like I couldn't give enough to a parent. And so I love that I'm in charge of how much time I spend or don't spend. It's more than what I expected, I think. And I think there's more opportunities than I expected too. Like I'm going to be doing a feeding support group with another provider. And I never had that opportunity before because it didn't make money. Like, well, why would we do something free? Because it doesn't make money. And I'm starting to be more and more aware of, well, free things support your community. And when you support your community, that community in turn supports you. And those are things I never had the freedom to do. Even like courses that other providers, they're like, hey, do you want to teach a course with me? Or do you want to do a workshop together? The people that I'm having lunch with or coffee dates with. And it's so much more than just going into people's homes, providing therapy, and calling it a day. There's so many more opportunities that come with that and freedoms that come with this. Don't get me wrong, it's scary. Like there's some weeks and some months where I'm nervous or I get in my head or you think like nobody's going to call or you have a down week with phone calls. I took Monday off this week and it was stressful. Like, can I really take a day essentially like unpaid? Yeah, I can. Like I can. It's okay.
It is okay because there's always going to be more clients. And yeah, sometimes there's weird seasons, right? There's COVID, there's flu, there's for you, RSV is probably a concern for some of your people, right? But this is why people go into private practice, is to have that flexibility, right? This is literally why you went into it before. So can you tell our listeners, like, what has having your practice meant for your family as opposed to like what things were like for you before?
Every time I have like a day where I have to, somebody cancels on me or I have to cancel on somebody or I have to shift things for my kiddos, or maybe I have a down week financially, it just feels like a down week. I always go back to, yes, but I got my kid off of the school bus every day, but I got to take my kid to school. I am not paying $400 a month in before and after care for my son because I am in charge and I can start work when it's when I can start work and I can end work when I need to end work. It always goes back to like, this is why I did this. My kiddo gets sick and I can either shift my patients or I can stack them onto a different day. And I've also found that my patients, like they're kids and they have working parents and those parents are so gracious and I'm gracious to them. People get sick, things happen, and everyone's so gracious about when those shifts need to happen. I'm not rushing all the time right now to figure out how am I going to cram in 40 hours, but still get my kid to the doctor, get my son to hockey, get my other son to football, get them off the bus. How many friends am I going to have to ask to, can you take them here? Can you take them there? Can you take them in the morning? I have to go to work early. It's just, it's allowed us to just take a breath and operate as a family first. And like, I don't think I ever put my family, I want my family first, but I don't think I was ever able to really put my family first until now.
Oh my gosh. Mic drop, you guys. Like that is like, but that's such a big moment, right? To realize that like you are able to do that. And the reason why is because you've created a scenario that allows for that to happen, right? And I think that that's really part of, again, this kind of new way of being in private practice. Like I've started calling this like a lifestyle private practice where it's like you really put your life first, right? Mm-hmm. And not in this, it doesn't, sometimes people are like, oh, that sounds selfish or whatever. But like you have to realize that in order to stay in this profession long term and not become burned out, you have to start putting yourself first, because that's how many of us get in the predicament of burnout, is by not putting ourselves first, right? So for Jamie, putting herself, putting her children, putting her family first is allowing you to provide so much better care to the families that you serve. And so you can stay in this profession, you can stay in private practice for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like the hospital I work at, they just added Christmas Day to the list of responsibilities for pediatric SLPs. And I was like, nope. I'm not doing that. And I don't have to do it anymore. I don't have to work Christmas anymore. So things like that.
Yeah. So many victories. I'm just so happy that you found this profession, that you found private practice, that you found our program and everything. And I don't know, I'm just so proud of what you've accomplished and excited for what you have coming up next. So tell our listeners, what do you have planned for your practice, I'd say in the next like 6 to 12 months?
I don't think I 100% know, but I'm looking into insurance. Like it's something that I've toyed with, I've looked into. So I'm dabbling with how that looks and what I really want to be. I've looked into a little bit of brick and mortar, but I think like at the heart of hearts, I know that at the very least, I want to have at least a day, if not two, that is mobile and in-home. I don't think I ever want to give that piece of things up. And I'm focusing a little more on courses, workshops, speaking engagement, things like that. I love treating. I love the kiddos, but I want more. I want other things. I want more parent coaching. I love the parent coaching. I absolutely love it. I love to just go into a home, even if it's just one time, and spend a genuine solid hour with a stressed out family and give them, like arm them with knowledge that I'm confident in, and be able to walk out of there and get those texts and those emails. I implemented what you said and they made progress, or I feel so much better moving forward with solid foods because I feel like I know what to do. Or if I feel like all this conflicting information that I get on the internet, I don't have to listen to it anymore. I love parents. I love working with parents. So I really want to kind of expand that and explore that. And then I'll see where things take me.
Yeah. Well, and you don't have to know, right? You don't have to. You can be flexible with this whole thing, right? And as opportunities come up, you can decide, do you take them? Do you let them go? Do you say, that sounds great, but not now, or whatever else? So, again, I'm just so happy that you found a niche, and just such an important niche for kids, babies, moms who like really need a lot of support. And I know you mentioned before we started filming about being an introvert, and this is probably, this one-to-one kind of coaching element is probably really nice for you just personality-wise.
Yeah, I like the one-on-one. I don't know. I mean, I said I would never do, like, I never thought I'd be on a podcast. And this is my second podcast. So bizarre. And I thought going into parents' homes is going to be so uncomfortable. And I almost find it more comfortable. I mean, it's just like being in a hospital room. It's me and the family. And I mean, it's a push. Like, I have to push myself to go to networking events, or to, I tend to overthink, like, should I go to the doctor's office, or should I set an appointment with the doctor first, or should I bring a gift, or should I bring a marketing material? Like, how should I overthink? I'm learning how to not overthink everything and just act, see what comes of the things that I do. But it's a push, but anyone can do it. Like, yes, I'm an introvert, and I tend to be very anxious and I overthink things, but I think this is teaching me to just try things, and that people usually don't even know. If you don't think it's perfect, nobody else knows that it's not perfect. We are so much harder on ourselves than anybody. And my friend said to me yesterday, she said, if you have an idea, just do it. Just try it. And if it's not perfect, then fix it later. But if you don't do anything, nothing happens. I'm like, yes, okay. So I think just even now, she just said that to me yesterday. And I'm like, okay, like I need to do more, like act more. What is the worst thing that's going to happen? So.
Yeah, I know. That's something I hear people say all the time is SLPs and OTs get also stuck in their heads. Mm-hmm. All what ifs, right? What if, and all it's all the bad stuff, right? that meme, that quote, whatever, you see it on Instagram all the time. It's like, what if it works out?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, hey, this has worked out for you.
Yeah, 100%. It takes a little work. And I almost think like in the process, my confidence has been built from doing this. And like there's ups and there's downs. But when you have those ups, if you just remember to ride those ups and keep those in your forefront. Like I had a 1-year-old today and he said a word for the first time in therapy. And I mean, like talk about speechless. I'm like, whoa. And it's like, I'm going to ride that high for the rest of my week because that was awesome. And also because it's mine. Like this is my practice and that family found me and that's my patient and we made progress today. So it's a whole other level of enjoyment because it's something that I got to build myself.
Yes. Oh my God. 1,000 times, yes. I know that you kind of already said that, but I'm just going to ask you one more time. If there's anyone who's listening who's on the fence about private practice, maybe they're also an introvert, or maybe they have kids, or maybe they're just worried about the whole thing, what would you tell them?
To do it. I know that it's easier said than done, right? So we'll just do it. Figure out how to try it in a way that makes you comfortable. Some people quit their job and just do it. I see it with my full-time job and I scheduled my very first patient at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I went and saw my first patient at 8 o'clock in the morning and I adjusted my schedule by 30 minutes at work. And I saw that kid for my first 4 weeks before I started getting phone calls. And I was like, okay, where am I going to fit? How many kids can I fit in before my hospital job or after my hospital job? And like I said, within 6 weeks, I was running out of spaces. It was like playing Tetris. And I said, okay, I think I need a day to myself. And I went PRN. And I was fortunate enough to have that opportunity to go PRN. And I'm not going to say that it's an easy thing to do, but start where you feel you can start and see where it takes you. And maybe you have one patient for 2 months, but you have one patient. And maybe summertime's easier for you to just don't wait. Like just sign up. It's really not that expensive to the actual starting of a practice. It's really not that expensive to claim it. Claim your tax ID, claim your LLC, your sole proprietorship, whatever you want to do, claim it, create it, and you can sit with it for 2 months if you want and do nothing with it. But there's so many ways to get started, and it's okay to say no to people too. It's okay to have a wait list. So if you only have 1 day a week to start your private practice and you think, well, what if I fill that day? Then what do I do? So you fill the day and then you take a wait list and you decide if you're ready to dive in for more of these. There's so many ways to do it. And it's not always easy in the beginning, but I would like, if you are struggling with your time or you are burning out of our profession, there's other ways to be a speech therapist. So if you feel locked in somewhere, that you don't have to be locked in anywhere. There's so many people leaving our profession, like it makes me sad.
Oh, same. And I feel this weird responsibility to try to get people to stay if they want to stay.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm not certainly forcing anybody into this whole thing, but like if you have you've spent the time, you've spent the money, you have this expertise, you were drawn to this profession in the beginning for a reason. And so if private practice can allow you to stay in the profession, because then you do have control of your time, control of your caseload, control over the money that you earn, everything else, like that has been able to save some people from leaving. Like, I can't tell you how many people have done my programs who say, oh my gosh, Jenna, like I had like basically 2 feet out the door. Like I was done. I wanted to go work at Target. I didn't even care. Right. But I did your program and I rediscovered the love for this profession. And now I have a thriving practice with employees or whatever they have. And like, they wouldn't have had that if they hadn't have just given this a try.
Well, and there's other, like there's things in this profession. I knew nothing. I didn't know school contracting was a thing.
Yeah.
I had no idea. And I'm like, oh, I had no idea. That's interesting. Like that's something to keep in the back of my mind. But there's also just ways to be a speech therapist, like doing workshops that I'm not treating patients in that time. I'm not writing 10 notes in that time. I'm doing a workshop to provide information that I have to families or children or parents or whoever it is. And I can make money doing that also. So it doesn't all have to look like stacking one patient after the other patient after the other patient. And even just depending on how you're built, I'm private pay right now. So when it comes to how I document, how I take data, how I structure my sessions, I feel like I have so much more flexibility. Like I treat one of my kids outside. I love it. I had a kid inside a gym today. And we're just like loving the space. It wasn't this box that I had to keep him in. And I'm like, oh, this is what I missed. I missed having that freedom to be up and moving and creative and to play. Like I get to play with kids for real now. So it's like some of that joy that was sucked away from me, it's back now because I'm in charge. So if you're questioning, if you're losing your joy, sit down and really think about why did you lose your joy in our profession? And could a private practice where you are in charge, could that bring your joy back?
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect way to end. Yeah. I would love for everyone to bring their joy back. Remember their why. And then create an environment where not only can you thrive, but your clients can thrive too, right? Just like Jamie's been able to do. Jamie, anyone who's been listening to this episode who's like, oh my gosh, this is like the coolest woman ever, where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram as Thriving Joy Therapy. And I have a Facebook page. And then I have my website, which is www.thrivingjoy.com. I'm admittedly, like, social media is stressing me out. So I dabble on it here and there, and sometimes I'm on it and sometimes I'm not. But yeah, I love connecting with other speech therapists. I know lots of people are always asking me, how do you get started in a NICU? How do you get into a NICU? Happy to answer those questions. How do you get into feeding? Happy to answer those questions. So if anyone's looking for me, that's where I am.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for being in my world and being in the
program.
And I just, again, really thank you for sharing your perspective and like the way that this has worked for you, even for someone who thought they would never do it, but has now found, again, such joy in being able. So thank you, Jamie, for being on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Don't you just love Jamie? I love how she found her niche in feeding therapy and how she decided to add lactation consulting to her practice, which is something that is becoming very, very popular right now. I'm sure that you could hear this in her voice and how she was talking, but having a private practice has brought so much joy back into her life. She is the perfect example of someone who had fears about jumping into private practice, but took a chance on herself and was rewarded with the flexibility and freedom that she craved, as well as the professional fulfillment of being able to work with her ideal populations. If you would like to learn more about our programs and how we support SLPs and OTs, just like Jamie, and how we can help you too, please visit independentclinician.com. As always, thank you for listening. And please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.